I wanna die easy, Lord, when I die. Wanna die easy, Lord, when I die. When the room grows dark, death comes creeping through my heart. Wanna die easy, Lord, when I die. Oh, your father can't go on your bun. Oh, your father can't go on your bun. When the room is dark, death comes creeping through your heart. Oh, your father can't go on your bun. Wanna die easy, Lord, when I die. Wanna die easy, Lord, when I die. When the room grows dark, death comes creeping through my heart. Wanna die easy, Lord, when I die. Your mother can't go on your bun. Oh, your mother can't go on your bun. When the room grows dark, death comes a-creeping through your heart. Oh, your mother can't go on your bun. You better have King Jesus on your bun. You better have King Jesus on your bun. When the room grows dark, death comes a-creeping through your heart. You better have King Jesus on your bun. I wanna die easy, Lord, when I die. Wanna die easy, Lord, when I die. When the room grows dark, death comes creeping through my heart. Wanna die easy, Lord, when I die.
The 23rd Psalm reads as follows. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Familiar scripture, most everybody knows, Christian or non-Christian, most everybody knows the 23rd Psalm, usually used at funeral times, often read, sometimes not always understood. What we're trying to do and have been doing now, this is the fifth message in the series, is to just kind of unpack this 23rd Psalm, this Psalm of David. He wrote most of them, not all of them, but most of them. And we began several weeks ago looking at this Psalm in more detail. And we said on the first Sunday that we embarked on this study that he is everything that we'll ever need. That's Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The next week we looked at a message entitled, A Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And we talked about how the Lord protects and provides for his people, how just like a shepherd provides for his sheep. The third week we looked at the third verse and we talked about his way is the right way, how that he leads us in righteousness for his name's sake. Last time we looked at verse 4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And we talked about in this message entitled, No Fear, how that we should not fear death, because the Lord has promised to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and death is not really what he's talking so much there about as it is the shadow of death. And as we all know, a shadow can't hurt anybody. Now today, we want to continue looking at this psalm, and we'll look at verse 5 today. I want to talk to you today about me, myself, and God. When we study the first part of the 23rd psalm, and as we do, there's only two characters. All we've seen thus far are two characters, the shepherd and the sheep. But when we get to verse 5, there's a third party that's added. And the third party are our enemies. Do you ever feel surrounded by enemies? Do you ever feel like you're all alone? That the world is against you and that you really can't count on anybody? Do you ever feel that way? Why, of course you do. We all do from time to time. Do you ever feel just totally alone and that nobody cares anything about you? I remember the old story about Tonto and the Lone Ranger. It is an old story. I'm sure you've heard it. They were riding out in the desert one day, and they came over a hill, and all of a sudden they were surrounded by 10,000 Indians. And the Lone Ranger looked at Tonto and said, "What are we going to do, Tonto?" To which Tonto replied, "What do you mean, we, pale face?" Do you ever feel a sense of emptiness? I believe emptiness reverberates through our secular culture today like a whirlwind. Boris Becker, don't know if you remember that name or not, a famous tennis player in the 80s and the 90s, came close to taking his own life one time because he was overwhelmed by a sense of emptiness and hopelessness and loneliness. Here's what he said. "I had won Wimbledon twice before, once as the youngest player. I was rich. I had all the material possessions I needed, money, cars, women, everything. I know that this is a cliche. It's the old song of the movie and pop stars who commit suicide. They have everything, and yet they are so unhappy. I had no inner peace. I was a puppet on a string." Well, you know, as David wrote this part of the psalm, it's as if he was saying, it's just me, myself, and God. He saw no friends. He saw nothing but enemies. I don't know what caused David to write this part of the song. There are those who believe, and I kind of lean toward this, that his son, Absalom, was chasing him at this time as he was trying to take over his throne, did take it over for a time, and that David was referring to his own son who had become his enemy. Whether that be so or not, I'm not sure. But I do know that all of us have felt like David was feeling. I know that the Lord shared with him his presence, and David would be able to continue and to succeed in life because of this psalm, which was a song. Remember, the psalms were songs. And there are three wonderful truths that we can learn from how God takes care of the sheep and how God will even more so take care of us. Three things I want to share with you this morning, and the lesson's yours. Here's the first. God gives us all that we need. Now, that almost sounds like a cliche as well, doesn't it? God gives us all that we need. Folks, it's true. The psalmist said in verse 5, let's call it 5a, Psalm 23, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Now, notice that the scene changes from a field to a feast. It changes from a trail to a table. One of the most important jobs that a shepherd has was to go and find what was called a mesa or mesa field of green grass where the sheep could feed and thus be nourished. Now, shepherds would call this good tableland. Why? Well, because this was a place where the sheep could feed in peace. You see, sheep will not feed when they're fearful. And before a shepherd could bring sheep into a field of green grass, he had to drive out all the enemies that might be in and around that particular field. The shepherd would go in and he would clear physical hazards, things like poisonous plants that could kill the sheep, or stakes that might be sticking up from the ground, tree stumps, things that they couldn't see right away but could trip over and hurt themselves that would wound the sheep. He would drive off wolves and wild dogs that could attack the sheep, and he would make sure that there was nothing in the field that could hurt the sheep in any way. Now, in many parts of the Middle East, even to this day, there are tiny little adders. Now, what's an adder? Well, an adder is a poisonous snake that lived right under the ground. Now, often they would pop up out of their holes and nip the sheep on their noses. That's right, right on the tip of their nose, and bite them there, and could maybe bite them even several times. And a bite from those snakes, though not fatal immediately, could cause an inflammation which could eventually kill the sheep if something wasn't done. One of the things, I love this, one of the things a shepherd would do would be to go up and down that field, look for those small little snake holes. He would pour a circle of oil at the top of each of those holes so that when the vipers would sense the presence of sheep and attempt to come up out of their holes, their smooth bodies could not pass over the slippery oil. That's pretty sharp. They would just slide back down into their burrows. Well, the shepherd had to make sure that the sheep would be totally without fear. So the sheep then could, first of all, eat, and then, secondly, lie down and digest their food. In other words, it was his job, the shepherd's job, to prepare the table for the sheep. Even though sheep realized that wolves and dogs and bears, snakes, abounded around that field, they could still eat in peace. You know, it's easy to eat when you're surrounded by friends and people who love you. But it's another thing when you can eat in peace surrounded by foes and people who hate you. But you can do it if you know the shepherd. If you know the shepherd is protecting you and watching over you, and that no harm can come to you as long as he is near. You know, one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned about the Christian life is this. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of Jesus. Steve Brown, who is a radio Bible teacher and raised in North Carolina near a Cherokee reservation, he tells a story of one of their cultural traditions. As a Cherokee youth moved into manhood, the tribe had a custom of taking the young brave into the middle of the woods on a dark night, leaving him there all by himself. He had no weapons, no way to defend himself. And when the father would leave him there, he would simply say to the young man, "No matter what happens, remember, you have nothing to fear." Well, needless to say, the young man heard every owl hoot, every branch rustled by the breeze, every falling pine cone, every animal scurrying about the woods. He had no trouble imagining that every shadow was a black bear looking for a meal. Usually, the young brave would spend the entire night in unbelievable terror, counting the minutes until the sun came up. I know I would be. Do you know what would always happen when the sun did come up? As the young Cherokee would strain his eyes and get accustomed to the light and was able to see his surroundings more clearly, one of the first things he would see was that his father had never left him, but had stood watch nearby all night with weapons ready to protect him. One of the reasons why you and I should be able to sit down at a table and eat to our heart's content in peace is because our shepherd is always near. He not only gives us all that we need, he gives us everything that we could ever possibly need. He is all that we need. You see, sheep will die without a shepherd. No matter how much grass they have to eat, or how much water they have to drink. Without a shepherd, they will eventually get lost, get sick, get poisoned, get attacked, or killed. But when the shepherd of the sheep is near, he's all they need. Folks, this is exactly what God does for us as our good shepherd. He gives us all that we need. But there's a second thing about what God gives us according to this psalm. God gives us just what we need. Now, he gives us all that we need, sure, but he gives us just what we need. In my experience as a Christian now, nearly 48 years, preaching over 40 years of that period of time, I've learned that. I don't have to take anybody else's word for it. Many of you listening can say the same thing. God gives us just what we need. David went on to write these words, "You anoint my head with oil," Psalm 23, 5b. Now, the shepherd used oil for two reasons, as a repellent and as a medicine. You see, the worst enemy of a sheep is not a wolf or a bear or even a snake or a lion or a wild animal. No, it's not even the danger of getting lost or eating poisonous grass or drinking bad water. Listen, the worst danger to a sheep is what is known as a nose fly. Nose flies. Nose flies are just what they're called. These are flies that will literally fly up the nose of a sheep and lay eggs. And the larva will begin to drive these sheep crazy. Now, these sheep can't shake off these flies by their hooves or their tail. They'll do anything they can to get rid of these flies, these nose flies. Sometimes you'll see a sheep banging its head against a rock. He's doing it because he's going crazy from the flies. He will run, he will bleat, but nothing works. Now, if the sheep gets no relief, he becomes so bothered and so irritated by the flies that he'll quit eating. And then he begins to lose weight. And then he stops growing. And eventually he will die. So what does the shepherd do? Well, the shepherd anoints the head of that sheep with a mixture of olive oil and sulfur. Now, that oil does two things. First, it kills the larva and the eggs that are inside the nose of that sheep. But it also acts as an insect repellent to keep other flies from bothering that sheep. But the oil, secondly, was also used as a salve or as an ointment. You see, when a sheep gets an open wound, dirt and debris will get into the wound. If that wound is not cleansed, it will fester and poison the bloodstream of the sheep, and the sheep can die. So the shepherd would use the oil to clean the dirt from the wound so that it would heal properly. When sheep are bothered by flies or covered with sores, they don't need a fly swatter. They don't need a gun. They don't need hand grenades. They don't even need an aspirin. They don't even need an encouraging word. They need oil. And the shepherd is there to give the sheep exactly what they need to heal them of their wounds and to soothe them in their pain. Folks, this is exactly what God does for us. Through the oil of his Holy Spirit. When we are wounded, when we are hurting, some of you today are wounded. Some of you today are hurting. I'm not talking physically so much as I am spiritually. When we are in sorrow, some of you listening today are certainly in sorrow. When we're irritated, and many of us stay in that state, don't we? When we're bothered by the little things of life, God takes the oil of his Holy Spirit, pours it afresh and anew over our heads and into our hearts to soothe us. Paul talks about how the love of God is shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. This is how God anoints us with oil. Do you notice the singular here? Did you notice it? Not plural, but singular. He doesn't say that he anoints our heads, but rather he anoints my head. It's singular and it's personal. You see, at the end of the day, the last thing the shepherd does before he lays down at night is he examines every sheep one by one to make sure that all the sheep have no flies, no sores, no problems. You see, he loves the flock, obviously, but he loves them one by one. As great as God is, and as powerful as God is, do you know God cares for us exactly the same way? Did you know that with God, you never get lost in the crowd? You never get lost in the flock. God is always there to meet your need at just exactly the right time. Luther Bridges was a Southern preacher many, many years ago, back at the turn of the 20th century. And he was also a hymn writer. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale told the story of how he was having breakfast with him one day, and Luther Bridges told him the story of how, as a young preacher, he was preaching in a revival meeting in a certain city. He was awakened one night by the telephone in his hotel room. A friend had called to tell him that his home had burned to the ground while his wife, and two children were sleeping. They died in the fire. Well, you can imagine how stunned he was. He dropped the receiver and sat there for what seemed like eternity. Unbelievable agony. How could he go on? He hung when he hung the phone up, he began to pace the floor. He screamed, he wept, he cried out to God. He said he couldn't take it any longer. He just burst out of the room and went walking down the streets of that city early in the morning, trying to control himself. He told Dr. Peale that in his agonizing search for peace, he came to a river that flowed through the edge of that town, and he looked at it with fascination. He thought to himself of how he could just end it all, end all the hurt, end all the heartache, but he knew better. He knew it would only be beginning if he did that. All of a sudden, he felt the hand of God move over his life. It drove him to his knees, and he began to weep uncontrollably. As he was weeping, he simply asked God at that very moment to give him the strength he needed, at that instant, to stand up under the burden of that heart-crushing sorrow. He said there was a peace that began to flood his heart and his soul. Now later, in life, he married again, raised a second family. And it was in that home, with that family, that Norman Vincent Peale had breakfast that morning. As Luther Bridges completed his story, he walked over to the piano and told Dr. Peale he wanted to play for him a song that God had given him during that time in his life. Dr. Peale said he would never forget that song. You know, God gives us songs. If you stop and think about it, every song in your hymn book, if not everyone, almost everyone, was written out of sorrow. Isaiah said that they will enter Zion with singing and everlasting joy. Job said, but no one says, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? God gives songs in the night when it's the darkest. And the psalmist said in Psalm 77, I remember my songs in the night. Well, Luther Bridges told Dr. Peale that God had given him a song, and he went over and sat down at the piano, and he sang the chorus. Went like this: Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Folks, let Jesus fill you with joy today. Let him be the sweetest name you know. You see, God gives us what we need, just what we need, all that we need and just what we need. And finally, God gives us more than we need. That's right, more than we need. The psalmist continues, Psalm 23, 5b, my cup runs over. In the Bible, an overflowing cup is a symbol of total satisfaction. When a cup is overflowing, it means the person holding the cup has everything they need. In the Middle East, as you know, it's mostly desert. There was a custom that had to do with filling a cup. If you came to somebody's house, even if you were a total stranger, the first thing that the host would do would be to offer you a cup of water. The cup of water would be handed to you, and you would drink it, and then the host would refill it. You would drink again, and the host would refill it again. Now, as long as the host kept refilling the cup, that was a sign that you were welcome to stay. But if after several refills they left the cup empty, it meant that it was your time to go. Now, if the host decided he really liked you and wanted you to stay a long time, or stay for as long time as you wanted, he would fill that cup, you guessed it, to overflowing. God has told us that he wants us to fellowship with him forever by filling our cup with his blessings. You see, a shepherd, when his flock needed water and there were no streams, would lead his flock to a well. Some wells were very deep, as much as 100 feet down to the water. So the shepherd would use a long rope and a leather bucket at the end, lower that bucket. Since that bucket held less than a gallon, it had to be drawn by hand. And he would pour that water into large stone cups beside the well. Now, the shepherd always made sure that the cups were filled to overflowing because the sheep did not like to get wet. Remember, sheep are afraid of water. He would fill those cups to overflowing so the sheep could drink with ease. Whenever a sheep saw a cup that was overflowing, even a sheep, as dumb as they are, knew that they had all the water they needed to drink. They would be totally satisfied. You know, I believe this part of the verse is referring to the blessings of God on his children. Just as the shepherd blesses the sheep, God blesses his children. I heard about a little girl who was praying one night, and she said, "Lord, fill my cup. I can't hold very much, but I can run over a whole lot," she said. You know, we all run over a whole lot if you think about it, don't we? The next time you get all stressed out, frustrated, irritated, ungrateful for what you don't have, what you didn't get, or what didn't happen, you might want to remember something. 40% of all the world's 40% of the world's population has no electrical service. None. 60% do not have telephone service. And half of those who do have telephone service live more than 2 hours from the nearest telephone. One third of the people on the planet of Earth have never made a phone call. I'm convinced that if we will think about it for just a moment, every one of us would say, "My cup overflows." Let me close by telling you about Pastor Jack Hinton. Jack Hinton had the opportunity of leading music for a worship service in a leper colony on the island of Tobago. There was a time that in the service where there was only time for one more song. And so he asked, who's got a song? A woman who had been facing away from the pulpit, turned toward him and raised her hand. He noticed she had no fingers. Remember, this is a leper colony. Her nose was entirely gone. Both ears were basically missing. Most of her lips had rotted away. The rest of her body was filled with terrible, cankerous sores from that leprosy. Hardly able to look at her, Pastor Hinton said, "And what would you like for us to sing?" She asked if they could sing "Count Your Many Blessings." The pastor said he was so overcome with emotion he had to leave the service. One of his church members followed him out the door and said, "Brother Jack, I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again." The pastor said, "Yes, yes I will. But I'll never sing it with the same lackadaisical spirit that I've sung it in the past. I will sing it again. But I'll never sing it in the same way again." Folks, listen to me. When you come to those times in your life, when you realize it's just you, yourself, and God, rejoice. Because you're with the one, the only one, who can give you all that you need and more than you need and exactly when you need it. He would want me to remind you of that today. Until next Lord's Day, remember, keep looking to Jesus.